Hey folks, it's Sean Stewart here, co-host of Medium Clever. We are bringing you a new segment for your tasty ear holes called Human Interest. In this segment, the People's Champ, Brant Bobby, uses his internet powers, along with animal magnetism and cat-like curiosity, to find interesting people for one of us to talk to. Brett Medill couldn't be here today because he is too busy at a high-stakes strip risk game. We're all cheering for you, Brett. We hope you win that fine china set. Here with me in the studio is writer Simon Beauregard Grant.
Simon Beauregard Grant, yes.
So how are you doing today, Simon?
I am well, thank you, that Mr. Stewart.
Yes, that is my name. So you're a writer. What have you written that I might have heard of?
Oh, I don't know if you've heard any of my work. I've written a great many different types of things over many genres. And really under various pen names. So you likely haven't actually read anything with Simon Beauregard Grant.
Okay.
On the byline.
So what aliases do you go by then? What is your most prominent alias, would you say?
I've used several. You know, I write for various markets, domestic, foreign. I use various. Mitch Milner, that's a good one. In the U.S., they'll buy books by Mitch Milner in the airport, you know.
For sure.
Or Silas Allen Hodes. Silas Allen Hodes, he sells well with the plebeians. And then overseas, you know, Manfred Strasaldo gets involved occasionally.
What kind of books does he write?
Most of these pen names have been used primarily throughout my career to establish myself as a writer of novelizations of popular films.
Okay.
For various markets. Like, I would not write the novelization for your American movie for Americans. I would write the novelization as intended for a foreign audience. Or okay. I would write the novelization of a foreign film for a North American audience.
Okay.
But never either the other way around.
Right. So like a Korean, like you would put a Korean film and translate it to North American as to whatever.
Yes, I've written several novelizations of Korean films for the American market.
I see. What would you say your most popular one is?
The Departed was. I was particularly happy with my novelization of The Departed for the Hungarian market.
Okay.
I really jazzed that one up.
I bet you did. What would you say your favorite of all your work would be?
Well, the aforementioned Departed was really good. Jazzed that one up real nice. Other ones, I don't know. It's so hard, like your children. You write so many things. Some of them you just kind of throw away like a bad child. And some of them you cherish like a handsome, radiant boy.
I see.
You see, not all, like children, not all writing is equal.
So, why don't you write films in their own local region? Why do you always go to other regions?
Well, the person in America who reads the novelization of a foreign film, they don't also see the film.
Okay.
And vice versa, you know, the foreign audience man, if he goes to see your Die Hard with a Vengeance or whatever, he doesn't also read the novelization of the Die Hards. They're mutually exclusive audience. So I can write the novelization to an audience that won't see the film. Which I like very much.
Does
And then I conceal my identity with several pseudonyms.
Right, like the ones you've mentioned before.
Yes, just a little added pleasure, a little bit of mustache twirling on my part.
I'm wondering, does Die Hard transcribe well into literature?
Oh, I've actually written several Die Hard novelizations of films that don't even exist. They eat them up in Prague. They love Moonlighting's their favorite show. They love Bruce Willis. And they'll read anything starring John McClane. So I've written excess of 12 Die Hard novelizations. And really, the people have been promised that the additional 7 films are coming. Like, they've been made by Hollywood. They just... It's like... Kind of like before the Iron Curtain fell. It's just taking a long time for those films to get to you, Prague.
I see, I see. You do fine work. Why don't you get someone to, I don't know, turn it into a TV series or something? Your extra John McClane adventures.
Well, I can't imagine that I'd want to gain the attention of the actual copyright holders of these franchises for my unlicensed pseudonym sequels that I get cash under the table for in Eastern Europe.
I see, I see.
That's Manfred Strasaldo won't be spoken to in that fashion. Nor will Wesley Wallace Bramble or Hector Bongartz.
How about Frank?
Nor Garrett Corey or Walter Davis Gordon. These men that don't exist, they will not put up with any insolence.
Are those more of your monikers?
Yes, yes, all pseudonyms okay. of mine. Yes.
So, yeah, I see. So
upstanding gentlemen,
trail.
All of them.
Wonderful.
Yes, yes. And if you write any poor reviews of any of my work, all of them will bomb you with editorialists and... They will send letters, angry letters, backing each other up. They're a gang.
Most
They're
of them are
me.
You.
They're all me.
I was about
me.
To say that most of them are
They're
you, aren't they? They're
me.
All you. Okay.
They're a very powerful lobby of very aggressive writers. They will bully you into saying that your unlicensed Die Hard sequel is the bee's knees.
Well, I mean, do you have copies of your books? I wouldn't mind reading a couple.
No, I don't read any of my
books.
Oh,
do you read?
I use a variety of different drugs, and I write them. I don't even remember what Die Hard 7 is about.
I see.
Probably terrorism. If I were to hazard a guess, I imagine terrorism was involved. They didn't teach me to write down at the corner store. You know? I went to a more prestigious institute than The Corner. I didn't learn to write from reading the graffiti on the wall. I went to DeVry of Louisville, Kentucky. That's a bachelor's of communication that you can write your own ticket with. To write novelizations for foreign markets.
That's a good... Good.
Many of my works are, like I say, I throw them in the garbage. They mean nothing to me. They're a paycheck. And others, there's more value. Some.
What have you thrown away? I'm interested in to know what you think is not as important as more Die Hard sequels.
I'm pretty sure I wrote a novelization of Bridges of Madison County in the mid-90s. And
really?
I only remember the title. I put that one directly into the gutter.
Well, what was the title?
Bridges of Madison County.
So
by
just...
Hector Bongartz.
Okay.
A novelization of the film Bridges of Madison County by Hector Bongartz. Bridges of Madison County. DeVry Institute. Louisville, Kentucky, Bachelor of Communications. I wrote my own ticket, Mr. Stewart. I don't see you doing anything. What are you, stuck here with cards, speaking with this man who has some actual substance?
That's true.
You're just trying to live vicariously.
Well, you know what? Don't build yourself up too much. We found you on Kijiji, so just... I mean, sure, you've written a lot of Die Hard sequels and almost... And you threw out a
I've
sequel...
I've written novelizations of many films. Occasionally will put my services available on Kijiji, Craigslist, whatever I can. I'm a wordsman.
Fair enough. Yeah, I mean, you got
when
the established...
When I don't have a contract on me at the moment with someone wants my words, I go out into the world and I find someone who will pay me for words. Words are my life. You're not paying me one red tuppence for this interview, for my words. I'm giving you all of these words completely gratis. But these words come from Louisville, Kentucky, DeVry Institute.
Well, I mean, like, technically speaking, you're not writing your words down, so I don't have to pay you. That's how it works.
Are you suggesting that merely putting my words with ink makes them valuable? And that if I just speak them to the world, they lack substance?
Okay, fair point. No, not necessarily.
I am giving you this interview.
Simon, you're getting too out of control. I need you to tone it down.
I just deserve a little more respect for my graciousness in giving you this opportunity to sit down with such a graduate of prestigious Javari Institute of Technology, Louisville, Kentucky, Bachelor of Communications.
I apologize for my ignorance.
But I will agree that perhaps I may have gone a little overboard, gotten a little too aggressive, so I take my DeVry Institute of Louisville, Kentucky very seriously. When I feel
as
she has been despoiled, I can become quite irate.
So what are your favorite pieces of work that you've worked on?
I believe I mentioned the Departed Early Jazz. Ooh,
yeah.
That was a good one. Let's see. So difficult. Shawshank Redemption. Something About Mary. Fast Five. The Twilight films. These are just some of my greatest hits.
Right. And those were in different languages. What languages were those?
No. I only write in English. I don't translate them to other languages. I write the novelizations in English. Someone else has to take care of any sort of translations that occur.
I see.
I take The Departed. And, like, you watch The Departed, and I watch The Departed, and we say, oh, what a great movie. And I say,
I could
improve this text in my novelization. So I jazzed it up. These people, like I said, the foreign audience, they're not reading the novelization of The Departed and watching The Departed. So if they're only going to read the novelization, I'm going to give them the best version of The Departed that they could read.
What do you add to the scripts?
Nazis, mostly. Oh, everyone loves killing Nazis. You make Nazis the bad guy. Everyone loves it. So The Departed, it's, Jack Nicholson's character. Oh, he's connected to the Nazis. Right?
How?
It doesn't matter, Mr. Stewart. They eat it up. They love Nazis.
What?
And cowboys. Always at least one cowboy.
Is Jack Nicholson a cowboy?
No, of course not. He's the bad guy. He's a Nazi.
Are there Nazi cowboys?
Mark Wahlberg is a cowboy.
Okay.
He's the cowboy in that picture. You've
gotcha.
Seen the film.
Of course I have.
If I say to you, who is the cowboy in The Departed? Mark Wahlberg. Clearly.
Clearly.
He puts Kleenex boxes on his feet and a cowboy hat on his head, and he kills people that deserve it for justice. He doesn't care. He needs he knows the truth, and he doesn't care about the system. He's going to get you. He's a cowboy. Yeah! That's what they say. That's what the cowboy says.
Okay.
And he kills the Nazis.
I get you.
The Departed.
So, I know you don't translate them from English to
whatever
language. Where do you ship these books out to?
I don't publish them myself. I'm not at home filling crates with books, calling up the Ups man, telling him, oh, Ups man, take away my crates of books I self-published in my basement. I'm a little more prestigious from that, DeVry Institute, Louisville, Kentucky. I have publishers, film houses, different Penguin Books read my resume once. I have it on good authority. They read it. I spoke to someone who said they read it. So they considered me over at Penguin. I was under consideration there. I'm a very serious author.
Absolutely.
Ask them if, did The Departed not hit number one on the novelizations of films bestseller list in Budapest? Because they will tell you, yes, it did. You will ask the same question in Minsk. And they will say yes. In Tallinn, they will say yes. Estonia loves Hector Bongartz.
But how
they like him? He's only second to Manfred Strasaldo. among famed novelization writers.
But what I'm saying is, how do your books get overseas if you don't ship them? If
I write them for my publishers, I send manuscripts, they're edited, they're published, they're distributed.
In another language.
And yes, somebody translates it along the way,
whoever
I assume.
Whoever does it, I imagine they would.
And then they're distributed to wherever airports people in Eastern Europe buy books. Various corner novelization stores where you can purchase novelizations of popular American things.
Here's a question. Have you ever traveled to another country and seen one of your novelizations?
No, I'm deathly afraid of airplanes. I came so here on the bus from Louisville for this interview.
How long did that take?
It was a very long bus ride. It was 48 hours. It's very long across the prairie. But that's not what I am here to speak with.
For sure.
I have not gone overseas because I don't care to. Do you know what kind of books they read? Novelizations.
Fair enough.
I don't care to rub my elbows with people who like to read novelizations of American films.
Yeah,
I'll take their money.
Yeah, for sure. I understand.
I don't speak any. I told you I don't translate the books.
No,
I only speak English. I'm afraid of airplanes.
I just hope that your books overseas.
Someday,
are
perhaps,
both
I
translated.
Will buy a ticket on a boat. I hear they're building the Titanic, a Titanic 2. Perhaps I'll travel the seas. And I can finally see Manfred Strasaldo's dog-eared copies in the pockets of train-goers from Prague and Budapest. Monaco? They don't really read a lot of novelizations in Monaco. They're too busy racing and gambling and fucking.
Right.
All their royalty and the racing. Baccarat, James Bond, you know. I don't care.
So are you excited about any of your recent opportunities?
Well, actually, yes. You know, I've moved. I've kind of successfully parlayed my career as a writer of novelizations of films I've gotten the role of an editor, the foreign editor of textbooks for McGraw-Hill.
Okay.
So now I'm editing all the foreign texts that McGraw-Hill distributes. And those are really excellent novelizations.
I bet. What works does that include?
Well, all of them. All the McGraw books are just history books, science books, all the different things that they write the textbooks about. I edit all of them.
You edit them?
Yes, I don't write. You know, they write the domestic versions, right? They have the man with the doctorate persons and the other doctorate persons, and they get together with the other doctorate persons, and they pool all the doctorates, and they make a book with them. And then I come and I make sense out of the book. I improve it. I novelize it. We novelize. We make it novel. Novelized books. Textbooks.
So you're selling Cole's notes of textbooks overseas?
No, they are full textbooks.
But novelized.
Novelized.
Okay.
You say, who signed the Magna Carta? Oh, perhaps Cornelius Grant was there.
Very possible, very possible.
Exactly.
You're an interesting character, Simon.
World War I. Ooh, that was exciting. They flew the planes for the first time in war. Who's to say Nathaniel Grant didn't help shoot down Ernst Judith? Not me, because my textbook says that that's exactly what happened.
I see. And do these textbooks exist outside of your home?
Yes, they're distributed to all major universities all throughout different countries. Eastern Europe. This is McGraw-Hill we're speaking of, very highly prestigious textbook manufacturer, publisher. They've hired me to edit the foreign texts. And I'm making sure that people know that Nathaniel Grant might have been a World War I flying ace, for all we know.
For all we know.
You know,
I don't know,
much of Europe was destroyed 75 years ago. Many of the histories are gone. So I just fill in some of the gaps, you know, here, there, with a Grant here and a Grant there, you know. Oh, Helmut Grant, oh, you were there when they... Oh, you became Pope Pius V, Helmut Grant, yes, see?
And who's to say it didn't happen?
Not anyone in Europe now because they're reading my textbooks.
Tell me, Mr. Grunt, what's your current project?
Well, I'm editing all of these textbooks, and there's more. Every textbook I write, there's more and more grunts in the textbook.
Oh, I bet there is.
Yes, the grunts, they multiply in the textbooks. The domestics, they write, they pool their doctorates, they put them together, right? They come with the book, the book comes to me. I add some grunts to it.
Right, right.
I add a little pizzazz, a little Nazi here, a little cowboy there. A few grunts everywhere, liberal sprinkling of grunts. So that people know how important we were, or may have been, or should be thought of. You know?
Fair enough, fair enough.
Simon Beauregard Grunt will have a legacy. And if I have to make that legacy by putting a bunch of grunts in a bunch of textbooks by myself on my own without McGraw-Hill knowing, I will do that.
I'm sure you will, Mr. Grunt. I hope nobody from McGraw-Hill is listening to this
someday,
interview.
Someday, Mr. Stewart. You will see. You will see.
I'm sure I will.
I've got this gig now. I've been about 9 months of McGraw-Hill so far. We've got a few textbooks out there. There's a few people that know that the Declaration of Independence was signed by Garrison Grunt. The books say that now. You know,
are you sure?
When Nicolas Cage finds the Declaration of Independence in National Treasure 5 in 6 years from now, you'll see Garrison Grunt's name written down in the corner. Everyone will take it as fact. If I write it in enough textbooks, everyone will accept the Grunt's role in history. And I will retire to Eastern Europe, to my fans, to the fans of Hector Bongartz, to the fans of Wesley Wallace Bramble, Helmut Schelger, all of their fans, and I will come and I will say, I'm Simon Beauregard Grunt! And they will name things for me, because my name will be in all the textbooks. And I will retire a European noble, a duke, or perhaps a count, Count Simon Beauregard Grunt.
Well, I wish you all the best with your countship, whatever you want to call it. Mr. Simon Beauregard Grunt, thank you for stopping in Medium Clever Studios. And please don't come back again.
DeVry Institute of Technology, Louisville, Kentucky, Bachelor of Communications, very, very prestigious. Penguin Books likes me.
Okay, cut his mic, Brandt. Okay, thanks for listening to Human Interest, and come on back.